trees in Arizona and other areas of the West have been hit hard by factors as disparate as wildfires and the bark beetle. Now, new research indicates that climate change in the form of extreme and inconsistent precipitation totals is also hurting some tree species. Scientists study tree ring records as well over 1,000 U.S. locations to measure the impact of extremes in rain amounts. Two of those researchers, Matt Dannenberg and William Smith, are with me. Dannenberg is an assistant professor at the University of Iowa. Smith is an assistant professor at the U of A. Matt, let's start with you. How do you confirm that there is this relationship between a tree's health and whether it's been affected by precipitation?
Yeah, so what we did is we linked up the tree ring data, because we have, you know, latitude and longitude for each site. We linked that up with observed estimates of precipitation across the United States. So in other words, taking precipitation estimates that are pretty well quantified, and basically looking at the relationship between precipitation in different seasons and how that affects the tree ring widths.
And what types of trees are we talking about in the Southwest?
Yeah, in the Southwest, most of the tree ring sites that we have fall into one of three species. We have a lot of ponderosa pine, a lot of Douglas fir, and a lot of pinyon pine. I would say in total across the entire United States, it would be something like 200 ponderosa pine sites, 200 Douglas fir sites, some of those in the Southwest, but not all of them, and then about 50 pinyon pine sites.
Bill, when we hear danger, the word danger, what does that actually mean when it comes to these particular species of tree?
There hasn't been necessarily a change in total precipitation, but across the Southwest, precipitation variability has been increasing. And this is leading to more frequent extreme events. So in other words, with warming, the water cycle has been put into really overdrive. So warm years are getting wet years are getting even more wet and dry years are getting more dry. We're talking about the response of these tree species to these changes in extremes.
Bill, let me ask you one more question then when it comes to this particular. As someone who has been generally studying this for a long time, I always hate to ask researchers and scientists this, but were there any surprises based on the conclusions at your end?
I think there were surprises, yes. Yeah. So even in looking at the climate data, we weren't sure where hotspots of these changes in variability would occur. And really, there was a large region over the Southwest where it looks like precipitation variability has gone up significantly. And then analyzing our best available climate models, it is clear that it's projected that this increase is going to continue to increase and is going to continue to occur into the future. So essentially, all of our ecosystems here have a major change in the variability or the timing of precip that they have to respond to.
That is a scary possibility. So ultimately, at this point, are there things, any steps that could be taken, any things you might recommend?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't think currently management strategies have built in any awareness or monitoring for how precipitation variability has changed. I think that's probably a next step, and there's additional research needs for how to work in management strategies to mitigate these changes in the timing of precipitation.
Now, Matt, you worked with Bill as a postdoctoral researcher at the U of A on this, but you're teaching in Iowa. We're in the Southwest, so I'm going to give the Southwest first billing on this, but what concerns are there in the Midwest?
Yeah, in the Midwest, we're seeing a lot of those same changes, an increase in precipitation variability, and in some cases, tree species that may be threatened by that. In particular, what we found is that bur oak growth, like a lot of the conifer species in the Southwest, responds more strongly to dry years than to wet years. So in other words, growth reductions during dry years are not necessarily offset by increases in growth during wet years, even here in the Midwest. And so for species like bur oak and like ponderosa pine, an increase in precipitation variability on its own, even with no change in average precipitation, could result in growth decreases for those species.
And Bill, certainly here in the Southwest, we've lost millions of ponderosa pines from drought, also bark beetle infestation. If we lose more trees like this, what could replace them? We talked about the ecosystem issues. Are there other possibilities?
Yeah, so I think that's an open research question, is really how these systems will transition as our forests are put under further stress. You mentioned bark beetle. So there's important feedbacks as well. If through these increases in extremes, we start to see a weakening of the forest, there's potential feedbacks to further detrimental impacts continuation of bark beetle outbreaks or increased fire dynamics for the region. How these systems will transition is somewhat unclear. However, what we think will happen is that there'll be a reduction in the carbon storage potential of these ecosystems. And if these systems are not taking up as much carbon as they previously have, there could be the potential for feedbacks then even to more greenhouse gases in the atmosphere, and thus an intensification of climate change, of warming, which furthers this perturbation of the water cycle.
So the likelihood is that things are going to get worse, at least in the short term?
I would think so. I think that this points to a need for management strategies that take into account things like changes in variability. So in the popular media, there's been a lot of attention put on planting trees to fight climate change. However, what this research highlights is there's also this need to better understand our current forest systems and how they're responding to these drivers, not only to warming, but to things like these changes in the delivery of water to these systems.
I think I would point out and say, and kind of piggyback on what Bill said, and say that what we really need to do at this point is understand how all of these different drivers of forest change interact with each other. You mentioned bark beetles. One thing that I think we highlight in our research is that this change in precipitation variability makes it more likely that you have back-to-back bad years for trees, years where growth is really low or where precipitation is really low for multiple years running. And it's that kind of compound extreme event, that kind of extended extreme event that can make trees more susceptible to other stresses, things like bark beetles or things like increases in the dryness of the atmosphere. And so understanding how all of these different drivers of growth stress interact with each other is a really important issue to address going forward.
I don't want to be too much of a downer on this, Bill, but it seems like more and more studies are painting the true bleak future to some extent because of climate change. I guess I'm wondering if you think there is much that can be done that doesn't, I mean, obviously a step-by-step makes sense, but things that won't take a long time to see an impact for.
So there are potential pathways under which forests could increase in growth. So for CO2 fertilization, where there's more CO2 in the atmosphere, that could potentially allow forests or trees to take up carbon without as much stress or as much water loss. So maximizing the potential for increases in water use efficiency of these forests, or selecting for species that are able to better cope with this variability, would be a potential management strategy through which we could maintain the carbon uptake capacity of these systems, even in the face of increasing temperatures. But I think you're right. The current research really has highlighted that with climate change, taking into account all the various factors, for the most part, forests where they're currently located are going to continue to be under additional stresses, which will likely result in increased rates of mortality and potential degradation of these systems.
All right. William Smith is assistant professor at the U of A School of Natural Resources and the Environment. Matt Dannenberg is assistant professor in the Department of Geographical and Sustainability Sciences at the University of Iowa. Gentlemen, thank you for the conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.